The Consequences of Ideas by R.C. Sproul, Crossway, 2000, 224 pages. A brief book summary from Books at a Glance. Table of Contents. Introduction, Why Philosophy? 1. The First Philosophers. 2. Plato, Realist and Idealist. 3. Aristotle, The Philosopher. 4. Augustine, Daughter of Grace. 5. Thomas Aquinas, Angelic Doctor. 5. René Descartes, Father of Modern Rationalism. 7. John Locke, Father of Modern Empiricism. 8. David Hume, Skeptic. 9. Immanuel Kant, Revolutionary Philosopher. 10. Karl Marx, Utopia. 11. Soren Kierkegaard, Danish Gadfly. 12. Friedrich Nietzsche, Atheistic Existentialist. 13. Jean-Paul Sartre, Literature and Philosopher. Darwin and Freud, Influential Thinkers. Conclusion, Gilson's Choice. Summary. Chapter 1, The First Philosophers. The first philosophers did not operate with a dichotomy between science and philosophy. For them, knowledge of the physical world and the love of wisdom went together. As a result, they wanted to know about the nature of things and how the world worked. To understand the physical world, they tried to find the one thing or principle, in other words, the archy, that was above everything else and made things coherent. They tried to account for the universe, in other words, a unity of diversity, and wrestled with the relationship between the one and the many. Thales was the first philosopher we know of, and he argued that all things were made of water. He knew that water could exist in three states, that all of life depends on it, and that water seems to have a property of self-movement in rivers and waves. The early philosophical views of metaphysics can be summarized in four categories. 1. Corporeal monism. 2. Incorporeal monism. 3. Corporeal pluralism. 4. Incorporeal pluralism. Pythagoras believed that ultimate reality was made of numbers and expressed in mathematics. Heraclitus argued that all things were in constant flux and changing, but there was a unifying rational principle called the Logos that held everything together. Parmenides and Zeno of Elea held that change is an illusion because whatever is, and being cannot come from non-being. If something has being, it already is. There is no becoming. Anaxagoras made a major contribution to the pre-Socratics by positing the existence of the nous, maintaining that reality was made up of both mind and matter. Chapter 2. Plato, Realist and Idealist. To understand Plato, we need to understand his chief influence, Socrates. In the time of Socrates, the search for the archy, ultimate reality, had given way to skepticism and pragmatism. Some argued that nothing could be known, while Protagoras famously asserted the relativistic principle that man is the measure. Socrates recognized that knowledge and virtue need to go together, and in order to gain knowledge, he engaged in a series of dialogues where he asked questions hoping to find clarity and understanding. Plato was Socrates' student, and Plato tried to understand the relationship between change and permanence, or being and becoming. In Plato's view, the material world was a shadowland of the eternal world of immutable forms or ideas. These ideas were real and concrete, and physical entities participated in their essence. The forms were purer and more important than those material imitations. Plato believed that souls existed in this ideal world of forms before they were trapped in physical bodies, and thus, when they saw an object, like a chair, they recognized it on the basis of their experience of the essence of chairness in the world of forms. Thus, his theory of epistemology tied the forms and recollection together. Chapter 3. Aristotle, the philosopher. Aristotle earned the title the philosopher because of the depth, amount, quality, and scope of his work. Although Aristotle did not invent logic, he was the first to lay the foundations for logical formulas. He formulated syllogisms and explored logical fallacies. Of vital importance was his understanding of non-contradiction. Whatever exists must be logical, and anything logically impossible cannot be. Aristotle contributed pioneering work in numerous disciplines, including biology, linguistic philosophy, and metaphysics. He disagreed with Plato about the forms ideas, arguing that the forms had no independent existence apart from matter. Substances are always a combination of form and matter together. For changes to occur, there must be causation. Aristotle identified four causes: formal, material, efficient, and final. And every change is a change from potentiality to actuality. He argued that in order to have motion and change in the world, there must be an unmoved mover who is pure actuality and therefore unchanging. Chapter 4. Augustine, Doctor of Grace. After the death of Aristotle, an impasse seemed to exist in the minds of many between Platonic and Aristotelian philosophy. This led to a great deal of skepticism, but also to the development of Stoicism, Epicureanism, and eventually Neoplatonism. Plotinus, the thought leader of Neoplatonism, sought to provide an alternative to Christianity. He argued that the supreme being, the One, was beyond predication for us, but we could have a mystical union with it. Plotinus also argued that the forms were located in an emanation, the nous, that came from the One. During Augustine's intellectual and spiritual development, he was highly influenced by skepticism and Neoplatonism, but came through them to Christianity. Augustine came to embrace the laws of logic, but also recognized that without divine light and revelation, knowledge would never be certain. For Augustine, the goals of philosophy were to know God and know oneself. In order to know, we must have faith in God. Faith is not blind or irrational. It is based on good reason. Augustine wrestled with the problem of evil and came to believe that God created the world ex nihilo, and that it was good. But Adam used his free will to fall into sin and corruption, thus losing his purity and his free will. Both Rome and the Reformers considered Augustine to be a vitally important theologian. Chapter 5. Thomas Aquinas, Angelic Doctor. Today, the scholastics and scholastic philosophy tends to conjure up images of hair-splitting, arcane, pedantic, and irrelevant thinking. This view is unfair to the scholastics. They were rigorous thinkers who used logic to marshal sustained, deep analysis and philosophical arguments. Thomas Aquinas is considered the philosopher of Rome, and sadly, he has often been misunderstood and misrepresented by Protestants. Rather than separating nature and grace, he sought to demonstrate that they are ultimately connected and united. He also tried to show the unity of philosophy and theology, with both complementing each other in the quest for truth. His bringing together of philosophy and theology is called the classical synthesis. Grace fulfilled nature, and both are revelations of God. But primacy was given to God's special revelation in Scripture. Aquinas is well known for proposing his five ways, arguments for the existence of God, some of which run on Aristotelian lines of causation. He presents arguments from causation, an argument from contingent beings to a necessary being, an argument concerning degrees of perfection that leads to God, and a teleological argument. God is self-existent and eternal. When we speak of God, our language is analogical rather than univocal or equivocal. But what is asserted of God is still true. Chapter 6. René Descartes, Father of Modern Rationalism. Between the time of Aquinas and the dawning of the Age of Reason, numerous revolutionary changes occurred in the West, including the Italian Renaissance and the Copernican Revolution. Writing in the early 1600s, Descartes has been called the father of modern philosophy. He argued that syllogisms are neither true nor false, but rather their form is either valid or invalid. Statements or propositions are what bear truth value. In order to discover indubitable truth, Descartes practiced methodological doubt, doubting every proposition and experience he could until he arrived at something that could not be doubted. He rejected sense perceptions, what had been taught, etc., until he arrived at something he could not doubt. The reality that satisfied Descartes as indisputable was cogito ergo sum, I think, therefore I am. Although he could doubt many things, he could not doubt that he was thinking. On top of this, Descartes had a clear and distinct idea of perfection. But that idea of perfection had to be caused by something. Only a perfect being can provide a concept of perfection, and therefore, a perfect being must exist. Since a perfect being would not be a deceiver, Descartes believed that he could trust that his thinking and sensory experiences were reliable. Chapter 7. John Locke, Father of Modern Empiricism. Rationalism was a dominant force in the 17th century, developing from Descartes through thinkers like Spinoza and Leibniz. With John Locke, however, and Francis Bacon, empiricism was also established, although empiricism was more influential in the 18th century with the British empiricists. Locke argued that everyone is born with a mind that is tabula rasa, a blank slate. There are no pre-existing ideas or concepts in the human mind. It is experience and sense data that are responsible for knowledge. Sensations enter the mind and provide knowledge, but knowledge is also gained from reflecting on the sense data. For epistemology, Locke distinguished between simple and complex ideas, as well as primary and secondary qualities in objects. He maintained that primary qualities are objectively and inherently in the object being experienced, but secondary qualities are the qualities that the object creates in the perceiver. Besides exerting an important influence in epistemology and metaphysics, Locke also proposed political theories, which continued to shape British and American political philosophy. Chapter 8. David Hume, Skeptic. British empiricism began with John Locke and was brought to a skeptical conclusion by David Hume. Between the two, however, was George Berkeley, whose most famous idea was that to be is to be perceived. Whereas Locke distinguished between primary and secondary qualities, Berkeley held that all qualities were secondary, and that we could only know something by our idea or perception of it. He believed that God was the creator and ultimate perceiver of everything, so the measure of correspondence in truth is found in how our perceptions correspond to God's. In contrast to those who went before him, David Hume followed empirical philosophy to a skeptical conclusion. Hume argued that it is the faculty of our imagination that constructs complex ideas out of simple ones, and that even causality itself is never proven because causal relationships are based on customary association. He rejected our idea of the self and God, since the self and God are not understood through original sensations. In Hume's mind, neither the self nor God could be discovered empirically. Furthermore, due to the complexity of science, skepticism about identifying causal relationships, and the problem of induction, Hume's philosophy also challenged the scientific domain as well. It was this intense skeptical challenge that stirred Immanuel Kant into action. Chapter 9. Immanuel Kant, Revolutionary Philosopher. The impasse between rationalism and empiricism had engendered skepticism, And it was in this environment that Immanuel Kant brought about a revolutionary synthesis and overturned Aquinas' classical synthesis. Kant saw significant problems with both rationalism and empiricism, but also that each contained important insights. He argued that there is a priori knowledge, but also that knowledge begins with experience. Knowledge cannot be separated from the knowing subject. One of Kant's most important distinctions was between the noumenal and the phenomenal realm. The former is the world of things as such, in other words, what a thing actually is on its own. And the latter is the world of how things appear to us, in other words, what things are in our mind's interpretation and representation. We have knowledge of the phenomenological realm, but cannot know what anything is in the noumenological world. Kant argued strenuously against the traditional ontological and cosmological arguments for the existence of God, and many believed that he fully refuted them. As a postulate for practical reason, Kant maintained a moral argument for the necessity of God, since without God, ethics would be meaningless. Chapter 10. Karl Marx, Utopian. After Kant, many thinkers began to focus more on the phenomenological realm of history and anthropology rather than on issues of metaphysics and epistemology. Hegel tried to work out a philosophy of history as part of a project of metaphysical philosophy, and he posited an absolute spirit was growing in awareness through historical developments. This process developed through contrasts, so that there was a clash between a thesis and antithesis, which would result in a synthesis, which would become the next thesis, and the cycle would continue. Karl Marx was highly influenced by Hegel, but he took Hegel's philosophy and moved it into the material world. Marx saw human beings as makers who were alienated from their labor through industrialism and capitalism. In capitalism, society is divided between the owners and the workers, and the owners have an enormously disproportionate advantage over the workers. A cardinal error of Marx was that he assumed that the rich can only get rich at the expense of the poor. His vision was a classless society where the state would control the means of production and goods would be distributed fairly, ending alienation and division with the social utopia. Chapter 11, Soren Kierkegaard, Danish Gadfly. Kierkegaard is often regarded as the father of existentialism, but existentialism is notoriously difficult to define clearly. It is easier to label people as existentialists than to discuss the philosophy of existentialism. Although existentialism is associated with certain thinkers, like Jean-Paul Sartre, at the broader level it is a philosophy of existence. Historically, many existentialists have been thinkers and artists, or extremely influenced by the arts. Kierkegaard thought that life can unfold in distinct stages, and although people do not need to move from one stage of existence to the next, progress is possible. In the aesthetic stage, people live life as spectators, where externals provide them with meaning. In the ethical stage, the person moves from preference and tastes to universal moral rules. In the religious stage, the person makes a leap of faith to obey God, even if obedience to God violates accepted universal moral rules. For example, Abraham was willing to obey God and sacrifice Isaac, even though doing so violated the universal moral law against murder. Obedience is not motivated by a commitment to abstract law, but out of love for the lawgiver. Kierkegaard has been taken as a radical subjectivist, but he held that God is truth. He did, however, emphasize personal experience over factual information. The leap of faith was paradoxical and considered irrational by Kierkegaard, and in this he went too far. The Bible never excludes reason or praises absurdity. Chapter 12. Friedrich Nietzsche, Atheistic Existentialist. At a popular level, Nietzsche may be best known for his proclamation that God is dead. He maintained that evolution was always occurring, but evolution could include decline and decay. In Nietzsche's judgment, Europe was declining in decadence. He saw Christianity as rejecting the Dionysian life force and exuberant passion, and believed this was a tremendous error which greatly hindered the human race. In order to move forward in evolution, people needed to express their will to power, overcoming and overturning the morality of the herd and transcending conventional restraints. Rather than being servile, people should strive to be masters and overpower the weak who hypocritically assert that mercy and kindness are true values. The Superman is one who has the courage to recognize that although everything is meaningless, he will create his own values anyway. God must be rejected as the giver and evaluator of morality. Nietzsche's view is nihilistic and irrational, and it does not have the philosophical or logical ability to refute the existence of God. Chapter 13, Jean-Paul Sartre, Literateur and Philosopher. In the second half of the 20th century, existentialism and analytical philosophy were the dominant philosophies. The father of existentialism is Edmund Husserl, with Martin Heidegger and Jean-Paul Sartre being its most important developers. Husserl started with self-consciousness, arguing that the only sure thing we know is our own mental state. The external world, as we perceive it, is limited to our own experience of the phenomena. It is our consciousness that determines our understanding of things, rather than the essence of the things themselves. Heidegger maintained that human beings were thrown into the world without choice, but in the world, we could live either authentically or inauthentically. Rather than give into fear or anxiety, the authentic individual accepts and lives with the reality of death and nothingness. Sartre is best known for his statement, "Existence precedes essence," which he believed was a necessary entailment of atheism. Without God as the creator, human beings are persons rather than things. So they create their own essence. Their existence precedes their essence because human beings simply exist and then create their own meaning. There are no objective moral standards, and people cannot opt out of freedom. There are no guarantees we are walking a good path, but we are condemned to be free, condemned to keep moving. For Sartre, the existence of God would eradicate any genuine human freedom, and God's watchful eye would reduce us from subjects to objects. Scripture teaches that the unbeliever is made uncomfortable by the omniscience of God and wants to deny his existence. Chapter 14, Darwin and Freud, Influential Thinkers. Darwin and Freud were not philosophers, but they have had an enormous impact on Western thinking. Darwin's theory of evolution has been one of the most revolutionary ideas in history, and the truth of human origins is of the utmost consequence for values and meaning. He theorized that all living forms came from one primordial cell, and that environmental pressures and adaptations resulted in changes that allowed for reproductive advantages and passing on genetic material. In other words, the survival of the fittest, since those best suited for their environment were more likely to reproduce. Darwin maintained that these pressures and adaptations led to macroevolutionary changes which generated new species. Like Darwin, Freud has had a major influence in Western thought, but he was not a philosopher. Freud was the founder of psychoanalysis. He insisted that cultural norms and religion are often repressive forces that cause people to suppress their healthy and normal drives and instincts. Sexual liberty was what people needed. Religion was the product of wish fulfillment, with God being a projection of human desires for control and safekeeping. Freud argued that guilt causes people to hide or flee, yet he failed to see that our sin and guilt before God cause us to try to hide from him. Conclusion. Gilson's choice. We are currently in a time when theoretical thought is in crisis. The influx of John Dewey and other pragmatists has permeated society and education. But there are no ultimate purposes and goals that are known. Logical positivism has been responsible for linguistic analysis that has reduced the space available for theoretical thinking. Etienne Gilson has rightly argued that the choice that lies before us today is between Thomas Aquinas and Immanuel Kant. We need to return to the classical synthesis of Aquinas. We need to reconstruct the classical synthesis by which natural theology bridges the special revelation of Scripture and the general revelation of nature. Copyright 2024, Books at a Glance. Books at a Glance book summaries are available by subscription only, and except for brief quotes, may not be reproduced in whole or in part without express written permission.